Today's daf is Bava Metzia daf Lamed Ches. And we are 11 lines from the bottom of daf Lamed Ches Amid Beis Umayridin Karoiv Lenechsei Shavoi Tanoi. Today's daf is being learned as a schos for Achenu B'nei Yisrael Hanesuna Batzara Vashivya. Today's daf is also being learned as a schos Rufua Shalema for Binyamin Tzvi Ben Chana Itam. So we're in the middle of a sugya. The Mishnah on daf Lamed Ches Amid Aleph brought a machloikis between Reb Shimon ben Gamliel and the Chachamim regarding a Shomer Pekadin who sees the Pekadin that he's watching go to waste. The question is, should he make a move? The Chachamim say, Lo yiga bahe, don't touch. Reb Shimon Gamliel says that you should sell the Pekadin, do it under the guidance of Bezdin, and the reason you should do that is Mipnei Shehu Kemeshev Avei Delabayev. Gemara on Amud Aleph had a very long, detailed discussion with regards to the machloikis between Reb Shimon ben Gamliel and the Chachamim, specifically the Shita of the Chachamim. The Gemara mentioned a machloikis between Rav Kahana and the great Amora Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, a caveat that Rabbi bar Bachana said in the name of his Rebbe Rav Yochanan as it relates to the Shita of the Chachamim. And then at the tail end of the sugyo, the Gemara said, it would seem at first glance that maybe this machloikis, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel and the Chachamim, would have ramifications in another machloikis, and that is moiridin karoiv lenechse shavoi or ein moiridin karoiv lenechse shavoi. Now that, unfortunately, once upon a time was a common question that was asked, where somebody was taken into captivity and now there was nobody to tend to this person's affairs, and there was a debate amongst the Amoraim. And as we'll see today, even the Tanan, that perhaps the appropriate thing to do would be to find the next of kin, to find a Karev, the Goyal, the Miyabim, quote unquote, let this person go, work the field, so that at the very least, when and if this person comes back, he'll find his field still being in good shape. The advantage of using a Karev is twofold. Number one, he's going to care more. Number two, in the event that this person doesn't come back, he's the Yairish, so that he has an added incentive to try to do a good job. The Adam Iran that felt that maybe it's not such a good idea, because at the end of the day, you're chipping with somebody else's property, and maybe this person is not going to do the best job, and to the contrary, he's going to be mekalkalit. So he's going to work the field for a couple of weeks, do damage, leave his imprint on it. In the meantime, this shovel is going to come home and he's going to say, why'd you chapel with my business? Why'd you chapel with my field? There were those that held Mayuridin Karav Lenechse Shavi. There were those that held a Mayuridin Karav Lenechse Shavi. So the Gemara said that maybe Midrab Shimon ben Gamliel Nishma de Mayuridin Karav Lenechse Shavi and Midrab Bonin Nishma de a Mayuridin Karav Lenechse Shavi. How so? From the fact that Rab Shimon Gamliel holds that if you're a Shomer Pekadin and you see the Pekadin going bad, you should sell the Pekadin. Meaning, and we don't make cheshbonis that maybe the owner doesn't want you to sell it, and maybe selling it is somehow going to make things worse. No, right now it seems like the reasonable thing to do, that's what you're supposed to do. So if we tell the Shomer Pekadin, sell the Pekadin, albeit responsibly, then so too, my reading karav lenechse shavi. And from the fact that the Rabbanan said, lo yiga bahen, so it makes sense that when it comes to the nechse shavi, same psak halacha, lo yiga bahen. But Maisa, the Gemara went back and forth and forth and back. One of the things that emerged from the Gemara is that we were able to put names to the faces, names to these two shitas. It's machloikis Rav and Shmuel, whether my reading Karav lenechse shavoi or ein mayridin karav lenechse shavoi. Rav said ein mayridin, Shmuel said mayridin. The bottom line is today's daf is going to pick up on this note. Says the Gemara, mayridin karav lenechse shavoi. Really, this shaila of whether or not mayridin karav lenechse shavoi or ein mayridin karav lenechse shavoi tanoi is a machloikis tanom. The Tanya we learned to the Braisa, hayoyred lenechse shavoi. If someone is yoyred lenechse shavoi, ein mayzi enoisem yadoi. We do not take the field away from him. In fact, we're going to see that this case of Hayyurid Lenechse Shavi E Moitzi Noisim Yadi doesn't just mean that Bidiyevet, we allow him to stay there, but it even means Moiridin Lechatchila, meaning we tell him if you want to go Lechatchila, this is something you're allowed to do. Veloyoid, not just that, Elafilu Shama Shem Mash Meshim Beban. Let's say this person went into the Nechse Shavi, and then he heard that the Shavi is coming back. News broke that there's going to be a hostage release. The Kodam, see, he says, okay, let me chaperain quickly because Ich bin Balabus. I'm not going to be Balabus much longer. He went for Tolash and he started harvesting and cutting for Ochel and he ate. Hareza Zorus Venisker. To the extent that he was a Zorus, he profits off of it, meaning he's allowed to keep everything that he did. Says the Braisa, the Eluhein Nichse Shvuyin. The following are examples of what the Braisa means when it says Nichse Shavay Haresha Hoya Aviv Oy Achiv Oy Echon Menam Oy Rishon Hochelan Levedina Sayah. The cases where this person, his father or brother or one of his other Moirishim, meaning someone that he would stand to inherit, went to Medina Sayyam, the Shamu ben Shemes, and they were taken into captivity, but then afterwards a Shmuah came out that this person died. It's over there that you have this halacha that Hayyoyre l'nichse shavay e moitzi noisim yaday, with the knetch that we added, not just Hayyoyre, but even l'chatchila he's allowed to go. And if he hears that this rumor was only that, and really this person's coming back, he can go quickly, he could be Tolash, he could be Ochal, and if he does that, Hareis Nezores Veniska. The Braisa continues, Han Yoyrid L'Nichsei Netushin. Let's say somebody goes into the Nechasim of Netushin. The Braisa will explain in 1 minute what that means. Then the Allah is, we take away whatever it is he took. Meaning, we don't allow him to be the Ve'elohe Nichsei Netushin. The following is an example of Nichsei Netushin. Hareis Shoyo Avivoy Echavoy. Same case. The person's father, his brother, one of his other Mayrishim went to Medina Sayyam. And there was never any Shmua that said anything about him dying. Meaning, all we know is that he was taken into captivity. So what's the halacha there? We don't allow the Karif to go into the Nechasim of the Shavi. For Amr Reb Shimon Gamliel said, Shamati, I heard, Shehanetushin kishvuyin, that we treat the Netushin like the Shvuyin. So again, who were the Netushin? You have to hold cup. Netushin are where someone was taken into captivity, but as far as we know, this person's still alive. Shvuyin is where the person was taken into captivity, and then a rumor spread that the person did die. The Chachamim in the Braisa make a distinction between Shvuyin and Netushin. As it relates to Shvuyin, we let him go l'chadchila. He can eat whatever he eats. Even if he hears the person coming, Hareza Zoriz Veniska, Chaprayim, whatever you want. As it relates to Netushin, we don't let you go l'chadchila. And not just that, if you go, Moitziyin Oysim Yadei. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel argued. He said it makes no difference if we're dealing with Shvuyin or Netushin. If the person's a Shavoy, the halacha is always the same. Moiridin Karoiv Lenechse Shavi. The Braisa continues. Hayoyrid Lenechse Ritushin. Let's say somebody goes into the Nechasim of not Shvuyin, not Netushin, but rather with a Resh. Ritushin. Then the Allah is, everybody agrees, Maitzi and Oysim Yadi. The Elohe Nechse Ritushin. What does this mean? Aresh Hayo Abavay Achivay Echaman Amirishin Kan. These people were here, meaning they were never taken into captivity, as far as we know. The Eni Yadei Lehechan Holchu. However, one day you wake up, they're gone. In that case, the halacha is that you're not letting go the chatchila, and even if you go, and Rashi explains a few times in the course of the sugya that the reason is, if a person is taken away against his will, so then we could assume that maybe he would like one of his kriven to go and engage and take care of his property. But if a person goes away on his own volition, if he really wanted his karev to take care of his property, he would have instructed him to do so. And from the fact that he never did, that's a reyesa, and that's almost like a raglayim ledover and a not sahadi, that's really not what he wants to do. The bottom line is, the Braisa talks about three different situations of quote-unquote shvuyin. The first is where somebody was taken into captivity, Medina Sayyam, and there's a rumor that spread that he died. What's the halacha? Everybody agrees. Lechatchila, the kariv goes into the property. He works it, and he could eat and fress and do whatever he wants, unless the shavi comes back. Even if he hears the shavi coming back, Hareis Hazaris Veniska. He can hop around and do whatever he wants. The second case was Netushin. Netushin is again where the person was taken into captivity, Medina Sayyam, and as far as we know, the person might still be alive. There's no rumor that spread that suggested that maybe this person died. What's the halacha there? Machloikis between the Chachamim and Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. According to the Chachamim, according to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, we let him stay there. And then finally, we had the case of the Ritushin. The Ritushin is where the person is gone. It's very possible that this person was taken into captivity, but at the same time, when this person left, he went on his own, or at the very least, we don't know that this person was actually taken away. In that situation, there's actually a reyesa, there's an umdana, there's a raglayim ledover, that he was probably not interested in somebody coming in and working his property, and it's for that reason the halach is everybody's going to agree, then we're not going to allow any karev, any next of kin, to be in the property. Now, one thing you see from here, that's the middle case. That's really what we need. The Gemara is going to really get into this braisa, but right now we could even speak out the punchline. You see clearly there's a machloikis between Rav Shimon ben Gamliel and the Chachamim in the case of Netushin, which is where we know the person is a captive, but we didn't hear any rumors that he died, which is what the Gemara said in yesterday's daf, is exactly where there was this great debate between Rav and Shmuel and the Chachamim weren't sure about whether Mayridin Karvlin Echsei Shavu, Ye'e Mayridin Karvlin Echsei Shavu. And what do you see? You see it's a machloikis tanok, so says the Gemara, Lema Ketanoi. And not even Lema Ketanoi. The Gemara's lashon is Umayridin Karoy Lenechse Shavoy Tanoi. Right. Sometimes the Gemara says Lema Ketanoi, Beloshen Bitmiya. Like we're not sure, which usually means that there's a Maskana coming. No, this is the Havamina and the Maskana. You see, Mefurish over here, it's a Machlokes Tano. Tosfos is the top Tosfos on the Amid. Shayach to yesterday's daf speaks out one very nice Ha'ara. And we really segue this Ha'ara with the introduction to the daf. And that is, so what emerges is that with regards to my reading karv lenechse shavi, a my reading karv lenechse shavi, it's a machloikis tanon. And which tanon? Reb Shimon ben Gamliel and the Chachamim. Reb Shimon Gamliel holds my reading, the Chachamim hold in my reading. In the beginning of the sugya, the Gemara said that can we deduce from the machloikis Reb Shimon Gamliel and the Chachamim in our Mishnah that just like they argued with regards to a shomer pekadon who sees his pekadon going to waste, could he sell it or not sell that? Who then they would argue with regards to my reading karv lenechse shavi, a my reading karv lenechse shavi. And the Gemara says, what shaykh is? What does one have to do with the other? The achrei kechlois hakoil, at the end of the sugya, it's mamash machlokes tanam, and who are the names? It's certainly Reb Shimon Gamliel and the Chachamim, which is then a shtickle raglaim the davar to what the Gemara thought in the Havamina, that the two machlokes in are talu zebeze. So why did the Gemara have a discussion? Are the two machloikis in yet Tali Zebeze and not Tali Zebeze? Or in just more subtle language, does Reb Shimon ben Gamliel hold, just like in the Mishnah, the Shomer Pekadon is the land of the Pekadon, so too my reading Karv Lenechse Shavei, to the Chachamim who in the Mishnah says, you don't sell the Pekadon, La Yigaben, so too as it relates to Nechse Shavei, the Halach is Gvid La Yigaben, what's the Shaila? It's Mefurish that Reb Shimon Gamliel holds my reading, and the Chachamim hold, they may read. And Tosfos says in Pshat, the very simple Teretz, that Enchanami, the Gemara on the top of the Yom, knew what was coming, and we knew that at the end of the day, we were going to prove that yes, it is in fact the Machloikis Reb Shimon Gamliel and the Chachamim. However, v'yesh loymer, what the Gemara meant was the meha lekula mishma mina. You can't prove one shita Reb Shimon Gamliel from the other shita Reb Shimon Gamliel. You can't prove one shita sachachamim from the other shita sachachamim. But it's true. At the end of the day, there's no debate whether Reb Shimon Gamliel is going to hold my reading or ain't my reading. Whether chachamim is going to hold my reading, ain't my reading. For sure, Reb Shimon Gamliel holds my reading. For sure, the chachamim hold ain't my reading. However, the shakla v'tayin of the Gemara was whether the two machloikis and atoli zebezeh. And that the Gemara said is samuchach. It's true, it just so happens, coincidentally, Ashkocha brought this, that Reb Shimon Gamliel and the Chachamim both hold that Lo Yigabahen versus Yigabahen. But the Gemara Shak Levatari is not so much what is the Shita of Reb Shimon Gamliel and the Chachamim respectively, but rather the Shak Levatari is whether you can prove one for the other or you can't prove one for the other. Either way, the Gemara is going to do a little bit of work on this Braisa. So in the Braisa we had Netushin, and in the Braisa we had Ritushin. What's Netushin? Netushin is where the Shvuyim were taken against their will. Retushin is where this person might have been taken into captivity, but if it happened, it happened in the middle of the night, meaning we don't know that it actually happened, and there's actually a pretty good chance. In fact, it actually feels like this person went away on his own. So the Gemara says, Maishna hanach dekarlu netushin, Maishna hani dekarlu retushin. I mean, what do these words even mean? And why would one be called netushin and the other ones be called retushin? Says the Gemara, for this you have to know a little bit of Tanakh. Netushin, the balkarcha. Netushin means balkarcha. How do I know that? The Ksiv, it says, Vashvias kishamtena unetashto. Shemitah, we know, says the Gemara, is afkata de malko. The Torah, the melech, malchei amlochim, took away the field from the person that owns it. So what does the word netashta mean? It means when something is taken away from you against your will. The shvuyin are called netushin. Retushin, the midaiton. Retushim are when a person goes away, midas, the chsiv. The pasuk says, and this is a pasuk in Hosea, im albanim rutasha. So it's talking about the man of the house who went away on his own will, and he left his wife, meaning the mother of his children, behind. and he left the banim behind. So im abanim rutasha, the mother and the children were rutasha, they were left behind. In this case, the person went away on his own. So you see, that's the proper word when you're talking about rutasha. Tani, we learned in the braisa, the kulan, as it relates to unzer the braisa, shamin lehem ka'ares. This person that's yoyrid, le nichse shavoy. So we allow this person to get a cut of all the work that he did. What's his cut that he gets? An aris. So whatever the standard, usual and customary rate is for an aris, that's what this person's going to get. Says the Gemara, which part of the braisa is it referring to? Ilei mashvuyin, is it referring to the shvuyin, the first case of the braisa? Again, what shvuyin? He was taken into captivity, and there's a rumor now that he's dead. You have to tell me that he gets paid like a aris. The braisa said even more than that. The braisa said he can eat whatever he wants, and even if he hears mashvushin abam, aris is aris v'nisker. So certainly, whatever he didn't get to eat, he's going to be able to eat as an aris. Meaning, if he can eat everything while he's there, and you even have this idea of Zaris Veniskar, that it goes without say that he's going to be able to take like a sharecropper. It shouldn't have been necessary to say. Ela Retushin. Maybe it's referring to the last case of the Braisa. What was the halach of Retushin? That if he goes, we throw him out. You're telling me he gets a cut like an aris? We don't let him be there. We literally walk the man out. How could you tell me he's going to get his cut? Ela Netushin. Oh, must be it's going on the middle case. The man, according to Ilei, but the Rabbanon doesn't mean Netushin according to the Rabbanon. Amri Moitzi Noisim Yadi. The Rabbanon Shita is that Netushin is like Ritushin where we take him out. So why is he getting a cut like an aris? And Iker Rishim Gamliel, if it means Rishim Gamliel, Hamashamati Shan Netushin Kishvuyin. Rishim Gamliel said that we treat the Netushin like Shvuyin. And what's the halacha by Shvuyin? Hares Zaris Veniska. So what's the halacha going to be by Netushin? Also, Hares Zaris Veniska. So what's the kasha pshita? Again, it's the same kasha. So the Gemara says, "Mamanav shach." Where exactly is this halacha going to get it? Either it's so obvious or it shouldn't be true. So the Gemara says, "Lo'ilam." It's talking about netushin, and it's going in Reb Shimon Gamliel's netushin. What's the kasha? Netushin is kishvuyim, so it's pshita. Says the Gemara, it's not so pashy. You know why? Because although Reb Shimon Gamliel said netushin is kishvuyim, but what he meant was kishvuyim v'loy shvuyim. It's ke. It's ki'ilu shvuyim. With a kaf adimyon, but it's not literally shvuyin. How so? Kish shvuyin, the emaytzi nois miyadei. It's like shvuyin that it's emaytzi nois miyadei, but for loy shvuyin, but it's not literally shvuyin. Ilu hasam zaris v'nisker. Because why real shvuyin? You could be a zaris v'nisker. Ilu hach over here shneimina leka aris over here. He doesn't get everything, but rather what he ends up getting is like an aris. So if he hears the bailum coming, he can't go chop everything that he wants, but rather he's only going to be able to get whatever an aris ordinarily would get, but more than that, he taka would not be able to get. So even in Reb Shimon Gamliel, what emerges is this three levels. This shvuyin where he raises aris v'nisker, you can take everything, you can literally, you hear the bailum coming, just walk away with everything, take the whole farm. According, in the case of netushin, did you get like an aris? In the case of retushin, let's see, an aris and the other, you're not allowed to take anything. Freit the Gemara Kasha, might know. Why is this halacha different, miha, from the following halacha de Tanan, which is a Mishnah Mesechtes Ksubis, Hamoitzi Hoitzois Al Nichsei Ishois? So this is talking about a man and a woman that are married. We know a man is entitled to all the peiros nechsemelug of his wife. This man was investing in his wife's property. He was Moitzi Hoitzois. Hoitzi Harbi. Let's say he invested a lot of money for Achal Kima, but he ate a little bit. Or Kima, he invested a little bit for Achal Harbi, and he ate a lot. Then afterwards, the marriage was terminated. He died. He gave her a get. Snadalach is masha hoitzi hoitzi, umasha achal achal. Whatever he expended, he expended. Whatever he ate, he ate. What's the Gemara's kasha? He doesn't get like an aris. Meaning, you invested, beseder. Now, all of a sudden, the marriage was terminated. Then, whatever you ate, you ate. Whatever you didn't eat, you didn't eat. If it ends up in a net loss, so it ends up in a net loss. How come over here, when someone's nyoyrid l'nichsei shavui, we say shamina leikaris? Why is the halacha not masha hoitzi hoitzi u masha achalacha? Why do we, after the fact, sit down with the accountants and we make cheshbonis and we try to figure out what the aris would have gotten and we give him that? Why do we simply say, like, bal b'nichsei yishtoi, masha hoitzi hoitzi u masha achalacha? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you. Ho loy damyo. Because really, if you want to create a parallel between this case of Nichsei Shavoy and Baba Nichsei Yishtoi, the parallel would be to another halacha. Elo laha de Tanya. Hamoitzi hoitzois al Nichsei Yishtoi. If somebody was moitzi hoitzois al Nichsei Yishtoi, kitana. Rashi says she wasn't just a kitana, but she was a kitana that got married al yidei her brother or her mother, meaning this is a ketushemian. She's only married the Rabbanon. So the halacha is kimoitzi al Nichsei Achadami. This person gets treated like someone who's moitzi mamin on someone else's nechasa. Meaning over here he does get paid properly. He gets paid like a sharecropper, whatever the rule is, that if you go into somebody else's property and you spend money, there's a whole Shulchan Aruch where you're able to get reimbursed. We don't just say, oh, mashal itzi itzi, mashal chalachal. No, you get a much better cut. In that case, that's the halacha. Why? What's the difference? Alma, you see from here, because kibidloi samcha daite. Because being that this person is not soy mechdas, meaning he knows that this girl at any point, if she decides that she doesn't like her husband, she can walk out. Ordinarily, a woman can't do that. She needs a get. But in this case, she could. So he's not really soy mechdas that he's going to maybe be married forever. He understands that this can be terminated at a moment's notice. So we felt that it was important for the husband to know that if in the event that this marriage is terminated, he's going to get a good cut. Why? So like this, he'll do a good job. It's takinu le'rabanan. They gave him a better deal. It's like this, he shouldn't lose out. Hachanami says the Gemara, the same is true with regards to someone that goes into the nichsei shavi. Takinu le'rabanan, keichad le'lev sedinu. The rabbanan wanted him to have a good deal. So b'al b'nichsei ishtoi, being that he's in control. So there, the halach is masha hoitzi hoitzi, masha achal achal, and they didn't feel chazal that they had to give him a better cut in order for him to do a good job. Because at the end of the day, he controls his marriage. The haraya, because you see, when he doesn't control the marriage, which he could be mamayin at any point, so over there they gave him a much better deal. But what do you see from here? That you see if there's a chashash that maybe the guy's not going to do a good job, so we get him a better we give him a better cut. And that's the aside of Shamina Leika Aris. The reason Shamina Leika Aris, it's not mitzad the Shulchan Aruch of any time a person's doing work in somebody else's field. Fakar, there's an Indian of Masha Hoitzi Hoitzi and Masha Achalacha. There's also an Indian of Shamina Leika Aris. What does it depend on? Are we worried he's going to not do a good job or not? In this case, we're worried he's not going to do a good job, and for that reason, we end up giving him a better deal. The Gemara continues with this price. The Kulin Shaman Lehen Karis. Again, what the price say? That as it relates to all these people, Shaman Lehen Karis. Now, we clarify that what's the Kulin Shaman Lehen Karis? It's referring to Netushin, Aliba de Rav Shimon Gamliel. But the Gemara has another diktuk, and that is the word the Kulon. What does the Kulon mean? Because really, the Kulon is just referring to that one case. It's referring to Netushin. So, what's v'kulon? V'kulon is like an inclusive word. Hakol asuyemai, the Gemara always says. V'kulon is a inclusionary word. What's it coming to be marba? So, the Gemara says, la asuye hoda amar Rav Nachman amar Shmuel. It's coming to be marba where Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel. And that is shavui shenishba, a shavui that was taken into captivity, mayridin karov l'nechasa. When mayrid a karov l'nechasa. Yotzno l'das. If he went l'das, ein mayridin Karav Linachasav. This is what Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel. By the way, this is Shmuel Shitasa in yesterday's daf. He's the mandama that holds that Mayrid and Karvlin Nechse Shavi. Rav Nachman di Dei Amar. Rav Nachman himself said, Bayreach Hareyo Kishavi. He added that a Bayreach, someone that runs away, is treated like a Shavi. In other words, Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel, Shavui shenishba mayridin karav l'nechasav, but if it's yotzal l'das, ein mayridin karav l'nechasav. What's the yotzal l'das? That's like the retushin of the brice. Rav Nachman said that a bayreach, even though he's yotzal l'das, but he's considered like a shavui. So the Gemara says, bayreach machmas mai. Ilim machmas kar, but this guy that ran away, did he run because he hadn't paid taxes, meaning he owed the government money? Hainu l'das, that's l'das. Meaning if somebody owes the government money and he has to run away, he's not in such a bahala. And Rashi says, what's the oimek of what the Gemara means to say? Why is it that retushin da loch is maitzi and oisim yaday? So we spoke at the Rashi in the beginning of the sugya. He says it here again. It's because if he really wanted somebody to come and intervene in his inyanim, he would have instructed him to do so. He knew he was leaving. A bereach machmas karga has enough yishav adas to do that. So if that's the case, he should have told someone to come in. The fact that you didn't, so that's ladas. El bereach machmas mardin. You have to say this person was bereach machmas mardin. Rashi says he killed somebody. What's this word mardin? So Rashi says mardin is a Persian word. Umardin he retzicha beloshen farsi. That's what Rashi says. But the bottom line is that this person was running away machmas mardin, and Rav Nachman was being moisif, that's like a shavoi, and that's the vikulon. Vikulon is referring to netushin. But we're coming to be marba this halacha, that if someone's bayreach, machmas mardin, machmas retzicha, he's included in this netushin, he's going to have this halacha. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, shavui shenishba, a shavui that was taken into captivity, v'niach, and he left over a field. Now this field that he left over, it was the harvest season. Meaning he left over kamaliksar, there was standing grain that was ready to be cut, or anovim liftsar, grapes that were ready to be harvested, or kmarim ligdar, or dates, zeisim limsoig, or it was olives. So bezdin yardin l'nechasa, so bezdin goes into his estate, umamid an apotropis, and they appoint an apotropis. He doesn't get paid, as we'll see. The koitzer ubeitzer v'goyder u'moisik. He finishes all the harvesting. The achakach, and after that, Petropas finishes doing what he does. My reading karav l'nechasav. Then Bezdin finds the next of kin, and he says, "You continue to work the field." Says the Gemara that if we're being moikim and apotropis, right? Till now we were never moikim and apotropis. Till now it was my reading karav l'nechasav shavoy. So why here all of a sudden is there an apotropis? But really, that's not the Gemara's kasha. The kasha is that, to the extent that we're appointing an apotropos, so let the guy just stay there, let them continue doing the job. So the Gemara says, apotropo lidiknoni loy mikminon. So a diknoni literally means beards. It's hard to find an apotropos to do jobs for people that have beards. Meaning, this that you find apotropos in throughout Shas, v'nichsa yisoyim, that's when the yisoyim maktanen. But this person is already an alteriyid, atashayin abud. He grabbed when it was taken into captivity. But lemaisa, being that this person's already old, it's going to be very hard to find an apotropos. Now, if it's going to be hard to find an apotropos, and that's why we're not handling what apotropos is in this sugya, that's why we're handling krovim, not krovim. So then, how are you going to find apotropos to harvest? The teretz is to harvest, to come in for one job that you'll be able to find. But you're not going to be able to get the apotropos to do more than that. Meaning, if the shvuyim were ketanim, as we're going to see now in the next part of the sugya, then we're going to start talking about apotroposes. But over here, being that we're not dealing with a katan, you're dealing with somebody that already has a beard, and in such a situation, it's going to be very hard to find the apotropos. Oktimar, Amar Rav Huna, Rav Huna said, Eimai reading katan, l'nechsi shavoy. We never allow a katan to enter the estate of a shavoy. So in the world of Meiridin, karv l'nechse shavoy, the karv has to be a gadol, it has to be bar mitzvah. But the extent that he's a katan, ain't Meiridin katan l'nechse shavoy. Additionally, v'loy karov l'nechse katan. If a katan was taken into captivity, we never appoint a karv to be the person that's going to work the field. Meaning, till now, it was always the karv. And we mentioned a few times, it's misvara. It makes sense that it should be the karv. You shouldn't speak it out. But over here, where the person is a katan, then you dafka don't want a karv. You're going to want an ishnacher. You're going to want someone that's not a karv. V'loy karov machmas karov l'nichsei katan. And not just do we not appoint a karov l'nichsei katan, but even someone that's a karov to the karov's karov. Now the Gemara is going to explain it, but Kitzur Rashi explains it a little bit more. So Hachav Mayaskinon, where there's a child that was taken into captivity. This child has a brother min ha'av. By the way, some Yavamah's vibes between here and the end of the daf. So this Gatan has a brother min ha'ach, who has a brother min ha'en. So the brother's brother is not a brother to the Shavui, but he's a brother to the brother of the shavuot. So he's a karev to the karev. Even that a problem. So not only v'loy karev l'nichsei katan, but also loy karev machmas karev l'nichsei katan. The Gemara is going to explain. Hey, marid and katan l'nichsei shavuot. Let's take it from the top. The first halacha that Rav Huna said was that whenever marid a katan l'nichsei shavuot, what's the reason? Dilma mafsul. Because he's a katan. He's probably not doing such a good job. And because he's not doing such a good job, meaning, we don't know if he's qualified to do this. Therefore, so we don't want him to mess up. We're going out of order. This was the third case. The karev machmas karev also not. It's talking about where he's a brother to the katan's brother. So then why is he not a brother? Because it's achim in av and achim in oim. The Gemara gives the shorter version. We spoke at Rashi, who gives the longer version. Additionally, you don't allow a karev to go to nichsei katan, and the reason is because kiven deloy machi osi lachzukebe. Because we're afraid that this karev one day is going to wake up and he's going to say, "I have a cheskas gimelshon." So let's talk about the case where the karev is a brother, right? So you have two brothers. One is a katan, one's a galut. The katan was taken into captivity. The older brother is going to be machzik in his younger brother under the premise that he has to take care of the estate. What happens if years later, this brother that was living there all these years comes up and he says, "You know something? This was always my field. Our father had died and there was a chalukah, and at the time of the Yerushna, this is the way it was done." Now, Raya's achti shtarach, 3 years. That's the halach of cheskas gibelshana, right? Once a person is somebody else's field for 3 years and the other person's not moicha, so that's cheskas abatim 101. You have what's known as a cheskas gibelshana. So at that point, the person's going to end up being able to keep it. So we're concerned for such a situation because no one's here to be moicha, and as a result, We don't want such a situation. So we'd rather a fremda come. If a fremda is going to come, you're not going to have a problem. Now, why you not problem with a fremda? The fremda is going to come. He's going to be there for all these years. Later, he's going to say, I have a cheskes gimel shanim. Where's my shtar? Cheskes gimel shanim. The katan wasn't around. He wasn't moich. Even when he came back, maybe he was a katan. He didn't have to be moich. He's going to end up keeping the field. Right? So why is it a problem if you're dealing with a karev, but not a problem if you're not dealing with a karev? That's the segue. Amar Rava, Rava snitch, mami namad Rav Huna. You see, from Rav Huna, the following halacha, and that is a machzik and a nichsei katan. You can never have a cheskes gimel shanim with regards to an achasim of a katan. Va'afilu higdil. And even if he's a gadol, and you were there 3 years while he was a gadol, still you can't have a cheskes gimel shanim. Meaning, what's your classic case of cheskes gimel shanim? Somebody claims that this field is his. Everyone knows that this field used to belong to somebody else. He says, I bought it from you. Where's your shtar? I had my shtar for years, but you know, there's a statute of limitations. 3 years passed. I don't have it anymore. I'll then have a cheskes gimel shanim. You can't ever have a cheskes gimel shanim when it comes to a katan. If we know that this field belonged to this katan or the katan's family, you can't ever come with a tainas cheskes gimel shanim. This is the halacha. Says the Gemara, if you can't have a cheskes gimel shanim, a nichsei katan, so it's not a problem to have a strange person go and be machzik in the field. Why are you not worried that a situation like this is going to emerge in the future? What's going to emerge? He's going to say that I had a cheskes gimel shanim, a machzikin b'nichsei katan. But as it relates to Karevim, there it's different. Because the Karev is not telling I bought it. The Karev is saying it was mine. Al Yedei Yerusha. He's allowed to have a Yerusha. Over there, there's a real legitimate chashash. If the Tain is I bought it, that's Cheskes Abatim. There's no sugi of Cheskes Abatim when it comes to Nichsei Katan. But as it relates to regular Yerusha, over there it's going to be a problem. Either way, says the Gemara. That's why the halach is that when it comes to Nichsei Katan, you dafka don't want the Karev. So always you want the Karev. But when it comes to Tumayrishin, we have such a chashash where he's a katan. Now, if he's a gadol, then you're not worried because the gadol is going to come back. He's going to know to be moicha, right? The whole problem is when there's a katan, he's not going to have to be moicha. So over there, that's where you have this issue. But the Gemara says you have to read the fine print. V'loya maran elo ba'achid ah. But the only time it's a problem that we don't allow a karev is if he's a karev on the paternal side. He's his paternal brother. Ava ba'achid im eleslamba. But if he's only his maternal brother, then it's not an issue. Why is it not an issue? Paternal brother is a problem because they're Yorshim Tzazamen, right? Mishpachas Av Kruya Mishpacha in Hilchas Yerusha. Mishpachas Av Inu Kruya Mishpacha. So over there, they Yarshim together. You have this Chashash that the Gemara just talked about. But Achid Im, it's not a problem. Additionally, Achid Ab and Amalei Amaran, even if they're brothers from the same father, it's only a problem. Ela Ba'aris, only if it's property. Avu Bebati Leslamba. But if it's a house, you have nothing to worry about. And the reason it says, Rashi, Shashcheinim Mi'idin Aleim Shabol L'chalke Shal Katan. Because the Shcheinim are going to be witnesses, right? The neighbors know Vostitzach, right? You want to know Vostitzach? The neighbors. So they're going to know everything that's going on, and as a result, therefore, this is Toiv Shachin Karev Me'ach Rachay. Literally. So you're going to have the neighbor who's going to be able to testify, it's a good pun, and be meyik what's going on here. And finally, Uba'aris Anami Le'amar, and even when you're dealing with property, it's elderly, Ovid Itita. That's only if there was no Shtar Chaluka. Aval Ovid Itita, but to the extent that there was a Shtar Chaluka, call it Islay, it has a coil, and because it has a coil, so again, everyone's going to know that it was divided in a certain way. You don't have to be worried that the guy's going to come with a taina later, that this really came into my chalukah. So adarab, meaning we want the karev to do it. You see that from the whole sugi, my reading karev, it's, of course, beneficial. There is a chash, when it's a katan, something can happen, but as long as you don't have to worry about it, you don't have to worry about it. Stating that, says the Gemara v'lohi, disregard everything we just said. Loishna achi da'aba, v'loishna achi da'ima, loishna arisa, v'loishna bati, v'loishna ovid itita, v'loishna loy ovid itita, loy machtinan, in all cases, loy machtinan, ayin Rashi, who actually adds a little bit of knetch, ayin shav, says the Gemara, he safta, the havadot klas bonza. There was an older woman who had three daughters. Ishtaboy I, v'choda barda. She and one of her daughters were taken into captivity. Idich tarti bonza, as relates to her other two daughters, the ones that were not taken into captivity, shchi v'choda minai, one of them died. V'shofka yenuka, the one that died, left over a child. And the third one didn't die. She's alive. So again, there's a grandmother, three daughters, and an anakel. The grandmother was taken into captivity. One of the three daughters were taken into captivity. One of them wasn't, but died. The third one is alive. The daughter that wasn't taken into captivity and died left over a yanuka. The bottom line is, right now, the shayla was brought to Abaya. We paskin like Shmuel, by reading Karev Lenechse Shavoy. What are we supposed to do? I'm Abaya. Abaya said, Heicha Navid, what's the Eitza? He said, like Minu Lenechse Biyada Da Achsa. My first reaction is, there's a Karev here. There's a daughter that one sister that's still alive. She should be the one, and she should go and be the Meirid. She should be the one that's going to take care of this field. But he said, I'm worried about that. You know why? Because Dilma Shechiva Safta, maybe the grandmother died, and let's just keep it simple, and not just did the grandmother die, but the daughter that she was taken into captivity died as well. The Meirid in Karev, and if that's the case, so now really this field that once belonged to the Baba just went over to Yerusha. Who yarshined it? That one daughter and the Yanuka. And if that's the case, the Yanuka is a bailin in this field. The Yanuka is kishma kachi, a child. And as a result, ein mayridin karev lenechse katan. That's a rule. Even though the Yanuka wasn't a captive here. But you see, that's a rule. Ein mayridin karev lenechse katan. Now, like minul and nichse biyada the Yanuka, shouldn't we tell the Yanuka, okay, you know what? Your boss, why don't you take care of it? That's dead on arrival. Why? Because maybe the Safta is still alive. And that Allah is, can't be married to Kotl. So Abaya said, I'll tell you the what we should do is, what we should do is, we should tell the sister to take care of half. The idach palga make minale apetrop al yanuka. And for the other half, we're going to be makim and apetrop is for the yanuka. What's the cheshbon of giving the sister half? Because mamad of shach, she could take half. If the safta died, half of it belongs to her. And if the safta is alive, then she could be the kariv that's going to be the apetropis and she could take care of anything. What's the reason we can't allow her to just walk in and be the apotropis? Because maybe the Yanuka's alive. Meaning half of it, maybe she has no rights to. Okay, Beseder. But half of it, she's zichadas. So let her go take care of half. And as it relates to the other half, so that belongs to the Yanuka. Now, you can't tell the Yanuka, just go ahead and it's yours, because it's only maybe yours. Because maybe the Safta's alive. And Emma reading Gotan. So what we do is, we make him an apotropis. That's going to be the Eitzah. And by the way, the Rishonim speak out. Apotropis, I thought on Aman Aleph, he said, you're not going to find an apotropis. Here you're going to find an apotropis. Why? Because there's a tzad that really belongs to the Yanuka. And for that, people are willing to be an apotropis, Li Yisrael. So here you'll be able to find apotropis. Like this, you're not going to have an Eitzah. Rav Amar Rav says, Pasha, migu the mikmin an apotropa lepalgo. Mikmin an apotropa leidich palgo. Being that you anyways hiring an apotropis for half, so you might as well use the apotropis for the other half. What's the oymik in understanding the Gemara? Again, Pashup Shad, we're going to have the oymik, but just to understand it better, the Pashup Shad is why did we say on Amud Aleph we're not finding an apotropis, which is what we do throughout Shas? Because you're not going to find an apotropis for a yid that has a yid metabud, right? But once you have the apotropis anyway, this person's getting involved, the apotropis already is going to deal with the other half of the field. Apotropis is not going to say, I'll deal with this because based on Abaya's math that he made, it's maybe only half. No, once you find an apotropis, you're going to find an apotropis. And if that's the case, it actually makes more sense. So migu de mekmina apetropa the palga, mekmina le apetropa the idach palga. Says the Gemara, the Saif, some time passed, and shamu de shchiva safta. They heard that the safta died, but, here's the caveat, but the daughter that the safta was taken into captivity with was still alive. Amar Abaya, so Abaya said, now we have to reassess the situation. So he said, tilso yavina le la'achsa. One third you're going to give to the sister that's alive. Why is she going to get one third? Because she's a Yerush on one third, and as a result, that third is hers. V'tilsno yavina le Yanuka, and one third belongs to the Yanuka b'tayrus Yerusha. She yarshins her mother, who yarshins the Baba. So that's something that the Yanuka is going to get. V'idach tilsa. What do you do with the other third? So now, as it relates to the other third, what is it? It's nichse shavoy, but with a suffix. Meaning, could be she died. If she died, so then the Yanuka and the sister are going to yarshin it. Could be she's alive, and then it's regular nichse shavui. So what you do is exactly what you did in the initial scenario. It's the same machloikas abaye v'rava as we're about to say. So as it relates to the final third, yavinan danko la'achso, the sister takes half of it. Danko is 1/6, but it's half of the 1/3. What's the cheshbon? Maman of shach, she's entitled to that. If the sister died, so she yarshins it. And if the sister's alive, she anyways is the karak. My reading karak, the next shabbat we pass in like Shmuel. The problem is that there's a tzad that maybe she died. And on the tzad that she died, the Yanuka Yarshidin. And Eimai Ridin Karav Lenechsei Kotin. So that only impacts half. As it relates to the other half, like Binal Apachopal Yanuka, that will be Mikem and Apachopas. Rabba said, Mikem and Mikem Apachopal Ledanka, Mikem and Apachopal Ledanka. Now, once you're already appointing an Apachopas for this Danka, so we appoint an Apachopas for the other Danka, again, as promised, Yavamis vibes. Mari Bar Isaac, Asale Achami Bechazoi. So Mari Bar Isaac, whose name is mentioned here and there when you're dealing with, right, he's known in Shas, different personalities that were not necessarily Tanam and Amiram or even Rishayim are mentioned. His reputation is he's a tough businessman. You don't want to be on the other side of the negotiating table with Mari Bar Isaac. That's a clear takeaway from some of the Maxims that we know about him. Either way, that's his Zeichet Tzadik Levracha. So Mari Bar Isaac had a brother that showed up from Chayzai. So Rashi says that Mari Bar Isaac's father had gone to Bechayzai and he married another wife there, and he gave birth to a child. Mari was with him. In the meantime, Mari comes back, and he heard that his father died, so he was Yairid L'Nichsayavim. He took over the whole Yerusha. But what he did wasn't so Oiskahalten, and the reason it wasn't so Oiskahalten is because L'maisa, there was a brother, Nyeda Mekvelt. Now, you don't know anything about this brother, but there's a good chance he's alive, and if that's the case, he's a Yairish. So either way, Mari Bar Isaac, his brother, one day, after he already, on his own, took the whole Yerusha, shows up from Beit Chayzai. Amalei told him, ploigli, I want half of the Yerusha. Amalei lo yadanalach. I have no idea who you are. Also, the comment of Rav Chizda. So he went to Rav Chizda. Amalei, so Rav Chizda said that, you know what, Mari Bar Isaac is saying is really okay. Shapik kamalach. Shenema, because the pasuk says, Vayaki Yosef es echov, Vehem loy hiki ruhu. That when Yosef meets his brothers for the first time, when the Yosef is the mashber, he's the shalit, and he meets the brothers, so Yosef recognized the brothers, but the brothers didn't recognize him. And Chazal say, why not? It's a Gemara in a bunch of places. Melamed, we learn from here, Shenyatza b'loy chasim azokin, uba b'chasim azokin. Because Yosef had tzaddik when he left the brothers. He was young, he was 17 years old. He left b'loy chasim azokin. They already had chasim azokin. So now all of a sudden he had a beard, so they didn't recognize him. But he recognized them. Meaning, this boy, he had seen the B'loi Chassim Azokin, now already came, he was an older person, he was an adult. So he said he's not saying that. Either way, Amalei, he told him, Zil Aisi Sadi De'a At. He says, go bring brothers, go bring Edim that you're a brother. Amalei, he told him, Isli Sadi, I'll be honest with you, I have brother, I have Edim. They're afraid to testify against Mari Bar Isaac, the Gavra Alimahu, because he's a very tough person, and they understand that sometimes if things don't go his way, there's repercussions and ramifications. And as a result, he's not comfortable doing this. Amal day, liddy day. So Rav Chizda turned to Mari Bar Isaac and he told him, Zil ant aisi sadi d'lavachuchu. You know what? Mask him. Why don't you go bring Aiden that he's not your brother? Amal dina hachi. So Mari Bar Isaac was a shtick of London. He told him, Hamoitze mechavei. Oh, he was in this situation before, it seems. So he knew the psak. So he said, Hamoitze mechavei. I have a legal opinion. Hamoitze mechavei. All of a raya. This is not the way it's supposed to do. Told him, he says, I want to tell you something. This is the way I paskin for you and for all your chaverim. So apparently he was part of he had a chevros. And he says, you and all your friends, this is the psak. Meaning, usually it's a moitza mechaveri all of a raya. But by you, you want to be machzik, you have to bring a raya. Because the Edom Apostle are going to be afraid to come and testify. Either way, says the Gemara Malay, it's soif, asu sadi v'le misadi. So Mari Bar Isaac says, I don't understand Rav Chizda, what are you accomplishing? You're telling me that people are going to be afraid to testify against me. Okay, so for the same price, I'm going to be able to find Edom to say whatever I want. The Lashon of the Gemara is a little misleading. Soif, asu sadi v'le misadi, Rashi. V'le misadi, they're not going to testify the way you think they might testify. They're not going to testify in favor of the brother. They're automatically going to testify in my favor. Amalei, Rav Chizda said, no, I have enough faith in mankind that ta'irti lo yavdi, that to not testify, machmasir, I hear, but to come testify falsely, that already not. Says the Gemara, l'soif, asu sadi dachuhu. Bottom line is he was his brother, and l'maisin at the end, Edom came and said he was his brother. Amalei, so once it was already proven that Mari Bar Isaac had to give up half of the estate, so he said, so the brother already said that, you know what, I want to take half of everything. I want half of the paradisi. Rashi says those are the vineyards. Bustini is Miloshin Bisan, Ginas Bisan Amela, of the gardens. And he says, I want half of the paradis. I want half of the bustini. Amalese, Tal Shapakamalach, Chizaturin Tamari Barisak. He says, he's saying, good, the Tanan, it's a Mefurisha Mishnah. Yiniach Banim Gedoilim, Viktanim. If somebody leaves over older sons and younger sons, Vihishbichu Gedoilim Asanachasim, and the older sons were dealing with the estate, the Shvach gets divided up. Meaning, even though the older brothers were the ones that did all the work, Amal Ma'is, at the end of the day, we throw it into the middle. And Rabbah said the same thing. Incidentally, Rashi, the first Rashi in the Yomid says, it's a Mishnah. Oh, and by the way, you know who else said it? Rabbah said it. This is your classic Yehuda V'Oid L'Kra. Right? It's a Mishnah and it's Rabbah. So because of this, Rashi changes the Girsa from Rabbah to Rav. For other reasons as well, Ayin Shah. Bottom line is, Amalei Abaya, Snabaya told him, no, it's not a Tzushtel. Mi Dami Hasim over there, G'dayim L'Gabiktanim Yadi. The G'dayim knew the Ketanim were there. And when they were working the middle of the field, so they knew that they were working not just for themselves, they were working for Ketanim as well. And as a result, the Kamachli. Hach over here, Miyada the Leichel? What? Mari Bar Yisak never knew to be Moichel. He knew there was a brother, but he knew this brother was going to show up. Over there, it's a happy family. Over here, it's not. It's an all different Indian. And the bottom line is, there was no Mechila. And if there was no Mechila, this would be the Halach. Either way, so there was a whole Shaila what to do. So what was the Shaila? Edom came and said that this guy's a brother. So it was easy that half of the Yerusha, Mari Bar Yisak had to give over to the brother. The Shaila was, what do you do with all the shvach? He had planted vineyards and gardens. Sounds like this was like a whole plantation. And the question was, what do you do with the shvach? Mori Bar Yisak was tining. I keep the whole thing. The brother wanted half. Rav Chizda said, it's a mishnah, shvach be'emtza. Abaya was ma'oyer. Maybe that's only when there's a mechilo. Over here, Mori Bar Yisak was never really meichel. So the Gemara says, Yigal gemilsa matal kam deravami. This shayla made its rounds, literally, Yigal gemilsa, and it ended and finally landed at the desk of the great Rabami. Rabami, who was a great Amori, he also had a very famous court, the famous Bezdin, the Bezdin of Rabami, Rav Asa. So it ends up by the Bezdin of Rabami. Amalahu, he told him, G'dayla mizu amra, I'll tell you my psak, and I'll tell you, it betoiris kal v'chaymer. How so? Shambalem ka'aris. Kariv, that's Yerulin, Ichse Shavi, so what's the halacha? We give him a chelik like an aris. So he said, hashta di day. Lo Yavinale? Is Mori Bar Yisak at the very least not going to get like an Oris? Meaning, Rav Ami said, I hear a bias taina, but at the same time, like an Oris, Mori Bar Yisak's definitely going to get. Meaning, as an Oris, he takes off the top. And then after that, they'll divide everything else. And his raya was from the Shavi. The Shavi has no shaykhis from a real halachic perspective to the field. And what happens if the Shavi shows up? Shaminale ka Oris. So why should he be any worse than the Oris? And being that in Svara, he shouldn't be worse than the Aris. In fact, he should be better than the Aris. Why should he be better than the Aris? Because he should be better than the Karev that was Mari L'Nichsei Shavei. Because the Karev that was Mari L'Nichsei Shavei, he really doesn't own anything in the field. Mari Bar Yisak, in the worst case scenario, is entitled to have. So if that's the case, Madoch Viri gets like an Aris. Certainly, Iri is going to get like an Aris. So the Gemara says, Ahadru Ahal, the Kamid Rav Chizda, the Psak of Rav Ami was brought back to Rav Chizda, Amalahu, and he told him, Mi dummy, Hassam over there, Bishos Naches, Hachala Bishos Naches, not a Tzushtel. The person, the Karev that goes to L'Nichsei Shavui, he goes Bishos Bezdin. If he goes Bishos Bezdin, so it's for that reason, he gets like an artist. He didn't go Bishos Bezdin, but Oida, not just that, Katonhu. This person that had gone away was this brother that was in Yanak Velt was a Katon. Ve'imai Ridin Karev L'Nichsei Katon. And the halach is, Eimer Ridin Karev L'Nichsei Katan. And Rashi just says, well, what are the two tainas? Number one, he never received permission. And number two, had he requested permission, it would have been rejected. Because at the end of the day, last he knew he was a Katan, and Eimer Ridin Karev L'Nichsei Katan. Either way, Adru L'Kami Rav Ami, they took Rav Chizda's psak, and they brought it back to Rav Ami. Amalahu Samu Kameh the Katan. No one had told me anything about a Katan. And I heard he was a Katan. I would have concurred. I would have agreed. And I would have said, this is the real Psak. Either way, this concludes a daf tucked away here in Perek HaMafkid, which is 100% Betchila Vatzoif, a digression from the sugis that we're learning. The topic of the daf was Mayridin Karev L'Nechsei Shavui, a Mayridin Karev L'Nechsei Shavui. It really started on the top of Lamed Ches Lamed Beis and went through Lamed Ches onto Daf Mem. A few interesting anecdotes. Ahisafta, another shout out to Mori Bar Yisak along the way. How did it get involved? Because the Gemara had a Havamina. It was like a fleeting Havamina. But the Gemara had a Havamina that maybe this sugya is tali in the sugya of a shomer pekadin who sees his pekadin going to waste, whether he should do something about it, or like the Chachamim said in the Mishnah, hareza lo yigabam. So in the spirit of continuing to speak out light raid, the lightest part of today's daf is when Rav Chisda tells the brother of Mori Bar Isaac, Shapir Kamalach, that he doesn't recognize you, Shenemba Vayaki Yosef es Echav, Vehem lo hikiru, that when Yosef meets his brothers for the first time, so the Pasuk says that Yosef recognized the brothers, but the brothers didn't recognize Yosef. And the reason is, Chazal say, because Melamed, Shneyotz, Beloichisim Azakin, Yosef, when he left, so he was a Megillach, he left Beloichisim Azakin, but Uba, at this point, he already had a Chasim Azakin, as opposed to their brothers. They had Chasim Azakin when they left, they still had Chasim Azakin when they returned, and as a result, you see there's an Indian of sometimes you know someone when he's younger, and then you meet him when he's older, you don't necessarily recognize the person. So Mari Bar Isaac was right for saying that I don't recognize my brother, either way. So on this Indian of Ayaku Yosef es Echa Behem Lo Yekiru Melamid Sheyotzev Lo Yechsim Ezokin Ubab Yechsim Ezokin, two Aras. The first Aras is the Rashbam of an art in Parshas Miketz on that Pasuk asks that we know the Gemara says Masechta is Gittin Daf Chav Gimel, it's Gemara Chulin, it's the topic of a lot of raid bites. There's something called Tfias Ayin Dekoil. A person can know who someone else is without seeing him, simply by hearing his voice. Tfiyas Ayin Dekoil is a real thing. It's brought down in Halacha. The Gemara says, how's the Suma allowed to be Meshamish Mitasay Im Ishtai? He doesn't know that really she's his wife. Rav Sheshes, who was a Suma, said it's because of Tfiyas Ayin Dekoil. We've mentioned in the past, Machloikis Ksoy Sesivis and Chay Shemish Batsimin Pei Aleph, with regards to using Tfiyas Ayin Dekoil in Hilchas Eidos. Can you use Tfiyas Ayin Dekoil? The Aguna Shailas, Kiyodua, this was something that was used. But the bottom line is, there's something called Tfiyas Ayin Dekoil that has ramifications in Halacha. So, Freik der Rashbam, it's very good that Yosef HaTzadik initially didn't have a Chasim HaZaken, and now he had a Chasim HaZaken. But why was it Vehem Lo Yekiru? Why did they not recognize Yosef based on his Tfiyas Ayin Dekoil? So the Rashbam says like this, it's the middle of the piece. V'gam min ha'koil lo yhoyu makirin oisai, ki al yedei miturgimin hoyu medaberi imohem. Because Yosef HaTzadik wasn't talking directly to the brothers. Ki dechsev, the pasuk says, ki ha'melitz bein oisai. And being that he wasn't talking directly to them, he was talking dorech ha'miturgimin. So for that reason, there was no tefiyas ayin dekoil. I saw Rav Menachem Mendel Kasher in his Torah Shleima, he says that it sounds a little bit from this Rashbam, a chiddush l'halacha, and that is that the only time Tfiyas Ayin Dekoil works is if you're speaking the same language. But if you're not speaking the same language, there's no Tfiyas Ayin Dekoil. And the reason is because Pasha, the way we visualize what was happening is Yosef was standing in front of the brothers, but there was a translator, there was an interpreter, because they weren't Kloimar speaking the same language. They were, but officially they weren't. But really, they were in the presence of each other. So the brothers hear Yosef talking to the interpreter. So why does it make a difference that there was a meturgimen that was medaber imam? Who cares? At the end of the day, they heard his voice. Zokt of Kasha could be shteiton der Rashbam achidish la'alocha, that the only time there's something called Tfiyas Ayin Dekoil is if you're speaking the same language. But if you're not speaking the same language, you don't have Tfiyas Ayin Dekoil. But Akuparim, the Rashbam asked this Kasha. Freak the Rashbam, that I don't understand the Heimlo Yikiru because of the Chesim Azokin. Tepik late Tfiyas Ayin Dekoil. Zokt the Rashbam, Kal Yedei Meturgim and Hoyim Medaber Imam Ki Dechsev Ki Hamelitz Beinoisam. But the emes is, as it relates to the Iker Kasha, there's already precedents that we can shtel to. Everyone knows the Ramban in Parshas Toldos, where Yaakov Avinu, he puts on the begadim of Esav when he went to steal the Bechaira. And the reason he did that was because he was concerned, Ula yemusheni avi, vehoyisi be'enov kimisateya, veheveseo laiklol of aloi bracha. My whole objective is to get bracha. And I'm worried that instead of getting bracha, what I'm going to end up getting is klol. Freak, the Ramban, vani tomeya. It's such a chiddush to me. It's a wunder. Heich loy pachad mi hekra akot. Yaakov Avinu goes, and Yaakov Avinu puts on the begadim of Esav. Why? Because ulay yemusheni avi. What about his kol? He was going to talk to him. So if he was going to talk to him, he was going to recognize him anyways by the kol. And says the Rabban, v'chol bnei adam nikarim b'kayla. We know people can be recognized by their voice. K'mosh amru razal. Heich suma muta b'ishtoy. V'heich bnei adam mutarim b'neshaseim b'alayla. Ela b'tfiyas ayin the kol. And if a regular person says the Rambam, Mayir be Yitzchok, Hechochom, the Habaki, the Hakir Ben Bonov, Shetile be Emes Tfiyasai in the Kol, says the Rambam, you have to say one of two Terutzim. One Terutz is maybe they had the same voice. They were twins, so it's very possible that they sounded the same. And could be there was no way for Yitzchok to discern whether he's talking to Yaakov or whether he's talking to Esav. Inami, says the Ramban, Oy, shoye meshanoi koiloi ledaber kilshoin ochiv. Maybe what he did was he changed his voice, did Yaakov, to sound like Esav. Ki yesh pipnei odom yoidom lasus kein. There are people that know how to impersonate other people. This is a fach. And it's shayach to do this. And maybe Yaakov had this talent. He had the ability to do this. As it relates to the Rashbam's kasha, Ulai, what happened to the Tfiyas Ayin the Kol? Could be Yosef HaTzadik also had this talent. Yosef was also very talented. Kiyodua. And maybe he knew how to do this. And maybe he changed his voice. And if he changed his voice, if the Ramban says that's the Eitzah for Yaakov when it came to the Bechayra, maybe that's the Eitzah for Yosef HaTzadik as well. Another very obvious sushtel. The Marsha, and this is in Chedushei Agadis, it's in Perek Yesh Noichlin, it's in Masechtes Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Chof Gimel Amid Aleph, where the Gemara over there discusses the story with Rachel and Leah, with the Simonim, and it says in the Pasuk Vayihibi Boiker, it was in the morning, Vihinehi Leah. Yaakov Avinu, in the morning, he discovered that he didn't marry Rachel, but rather he married Leah, and of course the reason is because there was Simonim that Yaakov and Rachel had made up between each other because Yaakov understood who he was dealing with, and Rachel ended up in Mesiris Nafsha giving the Simonim to Leah, and as a result, at night, because of the Simonim, he thought it was Rachel. Ablamais in the morning, Vini Hilei. Freik the Marsha, a Meridig Akasha. He says, I understand. What happened to Tfiyas Ayin the Koil? And you see, Tfiyas Ayin the Koil is an Indian when it comes to Tashmish Amita, because that's where Chazal applied it. Heich Suma Mutter. So he says, what happens to Tfiyas Ayin the Kol? Says the Marsha Odover Nifla. He says that it could be, El, Al Karchuk, you have to say, Shemesiris HaSimonim, Sheyodo Leia, Lohidim Liyakov, the Simonim that Leia was given, Heim Hitru Es Yaakov, Sheloi LaHakira B'Kol. What happened was, Enochinami, Leia sounded like Leia, but being that there was Simonim, the Simonim blinded to a degree Yaakov Avinu, and he was poshed, he was thrown off, because he knew that there was a Simon Muvik over here, that it's going to be Leah. So the Simonim of Leah is what threw him off. Says, Marsha, you ready? Says the Marsha, that's Pshat and Yaakov and Esav also. Avada Yaakov sounded like Yaakov, Esav sounded like Esav, but you know what happens sometimes? You push, you get thrown off, you get blinded a little bit. So he feels, it's Esav, so good, the voice was off, but it threw him off. And because it threw him off, sometimes Tfiyas Ayin the Kol works when there's nothing throwing you off. But if there's something throwing you off, Zokhtim Marsha, Tfiyas Ayin the Kol doesn't work anymore. In the case of Rachel and Leah, what was throwing them off? It was the Simonim that was throwing them off. And in the case of Yaakov Esav, what was throwing them off? Ula Yimushen Yavi. It was the Bigdei Chamudos that he was wearing. That's what was throwing him off. So there's an Inyan of Tfiyas Ayin the Kol works. Of Zokhtim Marsha, it's a Chiddush La'alocha the Marsha. Right. I'm assuming this is brought down in Halacha, the Inyan of Tfiyas Ayin the Kol. And this is a Chiddush La'alocha. If there's something that could be throwing you off, says the Marsha, tucked away in a Chiddush HaGadol, Kuf Chav Gimel Bava Basra, it could be over there, it's not going to work. In the case of Yosef HaTzadik, it's Pashut over here, there were things throwing him off. In fact, if you take a look at the Cheskuni says, by Yosef, it says, V'heim lo yekiru, Shehoye Bechassim Ezokin, quoting our Gemara, U'shmoy nishtane l'tzof nispaneach, there's a lot of things over here that just, it doesn't, like, why would this be Yosef? There was no way in the world it was Yosef. It was like, Allah al-Daitam. And when there's things throwing you off, over there you don't have the halach of Tfiyas Ayin the Kol. Either way, that's the first aura. The second aura is the pasuk right before, Vayakir Yosef es Echav, Vehem loy hikiru, says as follows. Vayakir Yosef es Echav. Right, this is just to get clear. This is in Parashas Mikra. It's the first time Yosef meets the brothers. Right? This Parsha is going to go all the way through Parashas Vayigash, this whole Indian here. But this is the first time they meet. And the Pasuk says that Yosef sees his brothers, Vayakirein, and he immediately recognized them. Vayisnaker aleihem, Vayidaber itam koshois, Vayomer aleihem, Me'ayim basem, Vayomer me'eretz kanan lishbaroichem. The next Pasuk, Vayakir Yosef es Echav, Vehem loy hikiru. But the first Pasuk is Vayar Yosef es Echav, Vayakire, vayisnaker alehem. What does it mean, vayisnaker alehem? Rashi says, vayisnaker, naso lehem kinochri, bidvorim, ledaber koshos. He behaved like a nochri, meaning really, it was family. And really, he should have treated them berachman. But that's not what Yosef HaTzadik did. Vayisnaker alehem, naso lehem kinochri, bidvorim, ledaber koshos. And that's the hemshech of the pasuk, the way Rashi understands it. Vayar Yosef es echo vayakire. My brothers, I should treat them that way. No. Vayisnaker aleihem, vayidaber itim koshos. Da vayisnaker, he acted like a nochri, and as a result, vayidaber itim koshos. But if you look at the Ramban says differently. What does it mean, vayisnaker aleihem? Shesoma mitznefes al mitzchoy. He put a mitznefes, he put a head on his metzach, uktsas upon him. He put a head to cover his shterin, to cover his forehead, and to cover part of his face. Veshina atzmoy, and he changed the way he looked. Kamoy shenema be'eshes yirovam. Kumi no vehishtanis for lo yedu kiat eshes yirovam. Says the Rambam, you want to know what Yosef HaTzadik did? He covered his face. Some matznefes al mitzchay uktsas upon. So I saw the Rameyer Halevi Soloveitchik, Zeichet Tzadik Levracha, in his shiurim. So he shtelzach. He said, why did Yosef HaTzadik have to cover his face the way the Ramban learns with a mitznefes? The Gemara says that Vayaki Yosef es echa vehem lo yikiru. Why? Because he was yotze b'lo yichsim azokin. So what? It's nishkunuk what Chazal said? Chazal said it was the chsim azokin. So he wasn't recognizable. He wasn't identifiable. Why did he have to put on this whole costume over here? He puts on the mitznefes to cover his shteren, to cover ktsasmen upon him. Why was the fact that l'chatchim he didn't have a beard, now he did have a beard? Again, this is a halacha. So he said, Posh, a biscuit kasha. Why did he need more than that? Vos is shva. What bothers you with what the Gemara said that it was the chsim azokin? So he says, Mustam al derech hapshat, muzmin zokin. That, you know, you can never be too safe. So Yosef HaTzadik wanted to have an extra layer of protection. Meaning, gavadi hinu chazal, chsim azokin is a simen muvik. But at the same time, then it makes sense. Abyssal merish tadlas. Let me also put on the mitznefes. But then he said a dover nifla. He says, maybe the pshat is that the emes is that there's two ways you can know who a person is. You can know who a person is because you've seen him before. You recognize him. Oh, that's Pliny. I know exactly who he is. But the emes is you can recognize a person in another way. Rashi in Parshas Yisrael says, "Va'ato techse mikol ha'om anshei chayil yirolikim anshei emes." Freit Rashi, "Ve'eich yuchal adas ba'noshim sheish bem kol ha'maylus alol." How is Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was told to go find all these individuals, how is he going to know who these people are? Says the Hilgi Rashi, "Va'ato techse beruach hakodesh olecho." Then Moshe Rabbeinu was told, "Beruach kodesho, I want you to go ahead and find these people." You see that if a person has ruach hakodesh, you can look at a person and you can know who that person is. Said Rameyer, "Demis is you find that tzaddikim." There was an idea of Chachmas Adam, Tayr Panov. Right, the Gemara says that there was a matronisa that came over to Rabbi Yehuda and said, no, that you're Moiri Virabi, right, not Moiri Virabi. Moiri Virabi, says the Marsha, you're a Rebbe. Right, she heard everyone calling him Moiri Virabi. He says, this is not a Moiri Virabi. This is a Moiri Virabi, as in Chai Vinishal Psume Adalayoda. Rabbi means inebriated. She says, oh, you're a Moiri Virabi. You must be a shikker. He says, why do you think I'm a shikker? He says, because I look at you. I see your face is glowing. He says, no, Chochmas Adam Torah Panav. Right, what did Rabbi Yehuda say? I can't drink. All I drink is Dalut Koises. And he says, my head hurts literally up until Atzeres. But the bottom line is that there's an Indian of Chochmas Adam Torah Panav. Meaning people that have Ruchnius Diga Oigen, they can look at someone and they can see who this person is. Beruach Kod, that's Va'ata Techse, Beruach HaKodesh HaLech. And he says, you're dealing with a tzaddik's face, not a regular face. Right? And they say about certain tzaddik and they don't like people, they look like malochim. Mamish et oske kikvi amalach elikim tzvukis, right? You have this in you, sometimes somebody looks like a malach. So Sedra Meir, who are we dealing with over here? We're dealing with Yosef HaTzaddik. And you're dealing here with the Shiftei Ka. He says, Yosef is the tzaddik Yisoid Oilam. He says, if somebody looked at Yosef HaTzaddik, you couldn't even look. If you had the right eyes to understand who Yosef HaTzadik was, you would have seen the biggest tzaddik in the world. And the brothers, the shift they cut, they had those eyes of Ato Techse Beruach HaKodesh. Since Ezra Meir, that Yosef HaTzadik understood, I need to do two things. Number one, I have to disguise myself in the physical sense to make sure that for that, Malamit Shiyotzev Chsim Azokin. So that already is going to work. They did it, and like this, he's disguised. But what about the Ria Ruchni? What about that? How am I going to be protected? So you know what you do? You cover your shterim. That's exactly what you do. Shnesama mitznefes al mitzray. He put the mitznefes on his forehead. Uktsas upon him. It's like this, they wouldn't be able to see him in the ruchniestig way either. Because otherwise, there was no chance. In the back of Shiur Rabbeinu Meir Alevi, this is in the Bereshis volume, here in the shtickle, they send you to the back. And they have Hisophis and Rameh, when he said this shir, afterwards he told a few stories. Just go through a little bit of them. The mayor said that, you know, once upon a time there was an Indian that tzaddikim, they used to go to Golas, right? For Kapora, a tzaddik would go to Golas. And the mayor said that the Zeder Reb Chaim Volozhiner, he once went to Golas. He did it based on the Vilna Goyen's guidance, and he went to Golas. And the Goyen told him that when you go to Golas, the Iker of Golas was that, you know, you have to go from place to place. You can't stay in one place more than a certain amount of time. And not just that, you can't disclose who it is you are. So he said, Reb Chaim Volozhiner, when he went to Golas, he put on a big hat. As a funny kapaluch. This is what he says. His lashon is kisui mishuna. And the reason he did that was, he felt, the goyim told him, you have to cover your face, because if someone's going to look at you, he's going to chop, he's looking at a malach. He's not looking at a regular person, and it's going to be chaser in your golas. The golas is, people shouldn't chop who you are, they shouldn't give you any cover, and that's what he told them to do. Because by putting on as a hat, the mitznefes that Yosef HaTzadik put on, you cover your shteren, like these people aren't going to know who you are. So he writes that Reb Chaim Volozhin, what are the places that he went to? So he walked into the Beis Medrash and he sat Bein Pshutei Ha'am. In parentheses, it says Hashlepers, Bekeren Zavis. And he's sitting over there. It's Pasha, that was the word Ramey used. So he's sitting in the corner, it's fishing the Pshutei Hamoinam, and he hears that the Rav is talking and learning. It seems that there was an Aguna Shaila that was brought to the Rav. And the Rav was handling this Aguna Shaila. Reb Chaim Volozhiner is sitting there with his funny kapaluch, and he's listening to the Shaila, and he heard the psak of the Rav, and he knew it was the wrong psak. He knew it was the wrong psak. The problem is, he couldn't tell the Rav because he was in Golas. The problem is, ein chachma, ein etzav, ein tfuna, neged Hashem. So like, what really are you supposed to do? So he quickly jumped up, and he said, you know, I once learned, he says, really, it's in Mesechtes Yevamah somewhere. I feel like maybe it has a little bit of shaychus. Everybody looks at this interesting person, can't even see him, who is telling you there's a toisvis. So Pasha, out of respect, they went to the Sfurim Shafin, they pulled out the toisvis, the kachava, this toisvis took the whole tshuva, mamish alapanim, it changed everything, and everything changed. Either way, as soon as they saw, like, what was going on over here, this yitch, don't saw a toisvis, that mamish changed the whole psak, so they wanted to find Reb Chaim Volozhiner, but they didn't know, he had disappeared, because he chapped exactly what was going to happen. And he was already with the balagula, he was already leaving the city. Meir said, and it just so happened that as Reb Chaim Volozhiner was traveling out of the city, all of a sudden he developed terrible, terrible pains in his stomach. And it was so bad that he needed to see a doctor. So he told the Baal HaGola to turn around and take me back to the city where he was. No, the olden days, where do you go? You go straight to the Rav. So the Rav meets this Yid. He took one look at him. Now he saw him. He chapped, he's dealing not with a poshta person. And he poshted. Felt that this is my opportunity to ask him all my shilas. And he started asking all the shilas that he had. He asked him shilas menigla, he asked him shilas benista, and he answered all the shilas. Rameh said that we have a Messiah. The reason Reb Chaim Volozhiner answered all the shilas is because kol ma she'oim lecha balabayis haseh chutz mitzeh. That's why he answered the shilas. And he held it to din in Shulchan Aruch, that if you're staying by balabayis and he asks you something, you have to answer. And if he asks you pshat in a tikkunei zayir, that's included in kol ma she'oim lecha balabayis haseh. He's my dregis, we have no shaychas to. Kol ma she'oim lecha balabayis haseh chutz mitzeh. And Reb Chaim Volozhiner said that he sat with him for a longer time. He made him better. He asked him all the shilas, but he said, v'hoisef agrach. He said one thing, he said, he said, never ask me my name. He said, never ask me who I was. And Reb Chaim Volozhiner said, he doesn't know why, but he said, he had two tzadim. Other is there a kluger, other is there a frumer. He said, other is there a kluger, because he understood that I wasn't going to tell him. He said, other is there a frumer, because he chapped, I didn't want to tell him, and he was chayish the faker. I was going to tell him, he didn't want to make me say something that I wasn't supposed to say. So Lamaisi never asked me my name. So the Snid never knew who he was talking to. Lamaisi, who was this Yid? Who was this Rav? So Reb Chaim Volozhiner, he knew who he was. He said, Oysa Rav, hoye Rab Hersh Halikir, Zechetzadik Levracha, Rabbishel Hoir Halik, and this has a good punchline. So you Talmud Hamagid Mimezrich, Sechet Tzadik V'Kadosh L'Vracha. He was Talmud of the Magid. So this is an encounter with the Nefesh HaChaim and a Talmud of the Magid, and this is what went on. Then he told another story. He said that just like you find that there were tzaddikim that were able to see on a person if he was a tzaddik, and that's where Chaim V'Lozhin had to wear this funny hat. He said it worked in the opposite as well. We're going to end with this. And that is, he said there were tzaddikim that had the eyes, they were able to look at somebody, the Shterin, and see if he did something bad. See if he did an Avera. And Rameh said over one Maisa that he heard from the Brisker Rav, that the Brisker Rav said that this Maisa happened by Reb Chaim. The Reb Chaim was in the Velozhny Yeshiva, and Mitamol, he sees a person comes in to the Yeshiva, and he was looking for somebody. So Reb Chaim went over to him, and he asked him, he says, can I help you? So he says, yeah, I'm looking for one of the Bachrim. So Reb Chaim said, which Bachar are you looking for? So he says, don't worry about it. I have this. I'm going to find them by myself. So Reb Chaim says, no, tell me who you're looking for. I push it, want to help you. And this person started getting a little bit nervous. He started getting angry. He says, I know who I'm looking for. I'm going to find him. He says, you're not the balabas. I'm going to read it to you the way Rameyer said it. Omalei agrach. So Reb Chaim told him, oid ma'at kfar tire ho'imani balabais. He said, in a few minutes, you're going to see if I'm really the balabas or not. The soterloy, right, taich, b'chaim gave him a fras, old school, the zork min a yeshiva, and he threw him out of the yeshiva. After Reb Chaim threw this bachar out of the yeshiva, so Reb Chaim went out together with one of the bachrim, and he was talking to him and learning, and Rameh said over there, Reb Chaim's minig was, before he would say shir, he would always talk over the shir with one of the chevra, and he was walking together, and Chaim's about to give shir, and he's talking over the shir. Either way, as they're talking to the Bacha, asked Reb Chaim, he said, the Shiva, he says, Rebbe, he says, like, what did this person, like, I understand, what did he do so bad that you gave him such a frask and you threw him out of the Yeshiva? And Reb Chaim said, he was so fatracht and learning, he said, shkoich for reminding me, I forgot what just happened. He says, I have a chshash that this person went to Reb Hershleib. Hershleib was the Netziv. So he said, I have a chash that he went to Reb Hershleib, and I have to make sure that he doesn't stay by Reb Hershleib. So Reb Chaim tells the Bach, he says, I'm not giving shena. He runs to Reb Hershleib, the Kachav, and the Bach was there. And he told Reb Hershleib, throw him out of the house. And then he found out where he was staying, and he told the Balachsanya, don't let him be there. And then he went to the Balagola, and he told the Balagola, listen, this person was just thrown out of the shtot. He's going to ask you to take him home. I want you to drop him off on the side of the road. The kachava. And this is what happened. Either way, so afterwards, the Talmidim, they asked Reb Chaim, like, what was this? Is not Reb Chaim, Dick. Reb Chaim, the Velt says, was a bigger guy in Chesed than he wasn't learning. This is Shalai Kedar Kemamish. So he said, what's going on over here? What are you doing? So he said, I'm going to tell you the truth. He said, I was sitting in the house by Reb Hershleib. I was in the Netziv's house, and I overheard that one of the Balagulas was talking to the Netziv, and he was telling him what was going on in the city. So Rameyer, like a true brisker, right? No one tells a story like the briskers. So he said over that in Velozhin, what happened is there was a little bit of drive that you had to go from the train station until you got into the city. So you had all these balagolas. This was their job, right? These were the drivers. They would take people from point A to point B. And these balagolas, they would come into the Netziv, and they would tell the Netziv who's coming and who's leaving the city. The Netziv felt that this was important for him to know. So like this, he knew what was going on. So Reb Chaim said he was sitting, and he heard one of these drivers telling the Netziv that, yeah, I just dropped off a few guests. And there was one guest that looked a little funny. I don't know, something about him was a little bit suspicious. And it's interesting, he says he came with a suitcase. He had a briefcase. He had a rental. So Reb Chaim's overhearing this conversation. He's thinking like this. He says, in Velozhin, too much business there wasn't, right? He's not coming on a business trip. So why would you go to Velozhin if you don't live there? You're coming to the yeshiva. He said, if he's coming to the yeshiva, he would have brought with him Karim, the Kastois, right? That's the way. It wasn't a furnished dormitory room. Like, you'd have to come with all your things. And he said, he didn't come with anything. All he has is, see, obviously he's not a bach in the yeshiva. So what's he coming for? He says, probably he's a maskil. And he's coming to be Meisus Umediach. And that's what he has in his rental. What he has over there is, he has some of these books. So Reb Chaim held that he's probably a min. That's what he's coming for. And he says, that's why he acted the way he acted. This was the Meisus with Reb Chaim. So Reb Meir said that a little while later, Reb Chaim was by the Tachanat Rakevet Bevarsha. He was standing by a train station in Warsaw. And he saw a group of people, and there was one person that was darshaning to all these other people. So Reb Chaim walked a little bit closer, and he heard that this person was talking about Oysayish. That's what he was talking about. He was pashing a Meses Umedech. So Reb Chaim immediately, he walked away, obviously, not to hear what he was saying. But then he chopped afterwards, I don't know if I'm doing the right thing, because he was talking to Mamish Yeshivalite. Adirab, maybe I have to stop him. So Reb Chaim goes a little bit closer, and he hears how this person is trying to fakoif oysa ish to these chevra. And the chevra would tell you, this person, he says, listen, you know, we are Jews, and the Jews were never makabel oisa ish as Mashiach, and if that's the case, unzer misayra, kemuvin is that oisa ish, not Mashiach. He says, I know what you want from me. So this person very brazenly told these chevra, he says, you think your rabbis know anything about Mashiach? They know nothing about Mashiach. V'harai, the greatest rabbi to ever live, Rabbi Akiva, thought Bar Kochva was Mashiach. He says, no, you see, they don't know anything about Mashiach. So Rabbi Chaim was there, he couldn't help this. Rabbi Chaim jumped up, Rabbi Chaim said, tell me, Rabbi Yid, how do you know Bar Kochva was Mashiach? I think he was Mashiach. If Rabbi Akiva thought he was Mashiach, he probably was Mashiach. He says, how can he be Mashiach? He died. He says, oh, so you see, if somebody dies, he can't be Mashiach. And he said, the guy looked at him and he was mamish silence. And after this whole very awkward silence, this person looked at Rabbi Chaim and he told Rabbi Chaim, you remember me? He says, I'm Yana Bacha that you threw out of the Voloshin Yeshiva. Since that's who I am. And Rabbi Chaim, Mamish, he was able to, so Rabbi Meir was talking about this Indian, and he said, you see, the tzaddikim were able to see. They were able to see, you were able to see the kedusha of a person. Chachmas Adam Tarabanov, he says, that's why Rabbi Chaim Voloshina had to wear a funny kapeluch when he went into Golis. And Fakek, you were able to see. Rabbi Meir says, Ichab Gehet, as Maron flaked Zokin, right? Maron is the brisker up. The Rabbi Chaim said about this person that when he saw him the first time of Voloshin, he saw Oichel Nevelos Atrefus. He says, as B'Shem Rabbaruch Ber Habich Gehert, as the Zayd Rab Chaim told Rabbaruch Ber that when he looked at him, he saw a Shasi V'Erev. So these were two Nuschois that the Brisker said over. About Koponim, Rab Chaim was able to see an Oichel Nevel Sutravis, Rab Chaim was able to see a Shasi V'Erev, but that's the Terah, says Rab Meir. Rab Meir, Mamish, I Chassidish Abshad. He says, you want to know why? If there was the Chassim Mezokin, so why do you have to put on the Mitznefes? Shesoma Mitznefes al Mitzchoy Uktsas Aponim. Because that's only going to help the Tiviest Degeria. But what about the Ruchniest Degeria? Yosef Hatzad. He's the tzaddik yisoid oylem. How could you look at Yosef at tzaddik and not turn into a galjal at zombies? It has no avon. And the shift they call never atatech seberuch hakodesh, they're able to see. So that's the extra protection. One is you shouldn't be able to recognize him physically. And the other is beruch kodesh, you shouldn't be able to chap that you're not dealing with a shalad, you're dealing with a Yosef at tzaddik.